Romans chapter number 6. Romans chapter number 6. I want you to turn there, please. And I want to read some verses here. And we may look at some other verses and some other scriptures about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 6, I'll begin reading in verse number 1. And as far as believers are concerned, probably the three most influential, most powerful chapters in the Word of God, far as your practical everyday life, will be Romans chapter number 6, chapter 7, and chapter number 8. You ought to familiarize yourself with those three chapters. It is, I believe, the key chapters dealing with the victory of the believer in this walk of life. But chapter 6, verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He just got through asking two questions. He answers it by saying emphatically, dogmatically, God forbid. God forbid, he said. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? He's talking here, he's asking a question that answers verse 1's two questions. The two questions in verse 1 is answered by the question in verse 2. How shall we live that are dead to sin live any longer therein? And then notice verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death. Now we know the Bible says there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. There's not a series of baptisms. There is a spirit baptism that baptizes the believer at the very moment of faith. At the very moment of salvation, baptizes them into the body of Christ. Then there is water baptism that baptizes that new convert into the local body, the church. So you have a spirit baptism, and then you have a water baptism. This that I'm reading about in this text is dealing with the Spirit baptism. Amen. Of course, anybody that's ever been baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ should never run from the water baptism. Their identity with the local church. Amen. And that's a text and a subject all in itself, but verse 3 says, know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ. Now that didn't come about by the water baptism. Now we're not Camelites around here. We believe the Bible. We're not saved in the baptistry. We're not saved by water. We're saved by the work of Jesus, the blood that He shed. And the work that He accomplished, we do not believe, nor does the Bible teach in any verse, baptismal regeneration. Nowhere. Amen. That's man's doctrine. That's what old Camel said. Those Camelites come up with that. Amen. You need to familiarize yourself with the Bible. I don't mean to get hung up right here, but I believe it's worth mentioning here this morning that it's the Spirit baptism, being baptized by the Holy Spirit into one body. Amen. Amen. We'll get a good witness right there. Amen. Said we're baptized into Jesus Christ. We're baptized into His death. Verse 4, therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death. That, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also, I like that, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Amen. Boy, it's good. I like it. Then verse number 9, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more. What a shout right there. Devil would love to kill Him. The world would love to kill Him. Amen. And in our old Adamic nature would love to kill Him. He did die once, but the Bible says He will die no more. Hallelujah. Hebrews 7:25, He ever liveth to make intercession for us. I'm glad we serve a living Savior. That is, right now, at this very moment, He's alive and well. And the next time we talk about Him, He'll still be alive. 10 million years from now, He'll still be alive. Why? Because we, the believer, are saved by His life. That's what the Bible says. We'll never be in trouble as believers unless He dies. If you read an obituary column of the Kingsport Times that Jesus Christ is dead, He died, then we're in trouble. But you know what? I'm not going to believe the Kingsport Times. I'm not going to believe that nut that's claimed to have found the bones of Jesus. I'm going to believe the Bible. Believers believe the Bible. If you don't believe the Bible, let me serve notice on you. You're not a believer. There's never been, never has been, never will be a person that is saved that is not a believer. Amen. I was talking to somebody the other day that said that we were talking about an individual that had made a profession of faith, and that person don't even believe the Bible. Mark it down, friend. It don't matter if you've made 5,000 professions of faith. If you don't believe the Bible, you're not a believer. You are not saved. Let me make something real clear right here. The tense of the words repent, believe, trust, all of that is in the progressive tense. That is, if you've ever believed, you're still believing. You can tell that you did believe because you still are believing. You can tell that you did repent because you're still repenting. You can, amen. Oh yes, friend. You don't have to go back 100 years ago or whenever it was that you claimed to have got saved, because God, what He started then, is ongoing now. You don't believe now, you never did. If you're not repenting now of sin, you never did. That's good preaching, I think. Amen. That's Bible. That's Bible. I can tell that I got saved 26 years ago, January 20, 1981, on the second night of a 7-week revival. I can tell I got saved because what God did to me then is still going on in my life now. This outfit that can make a quick run around by the altar, pray a little 2-cent prayer, shake a hand, sign a card, and never live for God are not saved. You say, preacher, you're judging them. Oh no, this Bible judges them and judges us. We've watered it down so now, or not we, let me take my name out of that hat. They have watered it down so in our day that everybody that you meet around here, around this part of the country, no matter how they live, are going to heaven. I don't believe a word of it. Amen. The Bible shows us, and I'm going to deal with it this morning if we can handle it, that brother, the resurrection of Jesus Christ does not just affect us in the future. But it affects us in the present. There is a practical application of the resurrection. If you're not alive now, spiritually, I promise you, you won't be alive in the future, far as in heaven. Amen. Well, glory. I don't know where we got to. Where did we get to? Let's see. Well, we might have to back up and read some more of this. Verse 9 would be a good word, good place to get in. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. That's where we got off, right there. Death hath no more dominion over him. Oh, boy, that's some good stuff. Especially if you're looking at it as the same is true with us. And I'm going to show you what I'm talking about in a moment. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. He died once, but his life is a continuous happening. Look at it. He liveth unto God. Verse number 11, likewise, bringing us into the picture, just as it's true with Him, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. He died once. And that, friend, shows us in several of these verses I've already read how that you and I are also dead with Him. We're baptized into His death. We died with Him. And when He come out of that grave, we come out with Him. And we live unto God. Died once, but He lives unto God. We got saved once, identified with His death. Once, and we've been made alive. We've been resurrected. We've been given His very life. And we're to live unto God. Amen. We're to live unto God. Amen. If I can find this verse, the Lord brought to my attention. Amen. Brother Mike, where's that verse? Brother, where are you coming from that? Where's that verse that talking about that no man live, we don't live unto himself, let us henceforth live unto him? That he's quoted that many times. But anyway, praise God. Anyway, we'll find it later. Get your mind off of that. I should never ask that question. Y'all be doing a Bible study while I'm trying to preach. Y'all be hunting a verse, and you'll miss a message. Amen. Amen. Lord evidently didn't want that anyway. Couldn't find it. But anyway, if you'll notice here. Notice if you will. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. See, so he's got a practical thing going here. He's talking about what he's preaching in this chapter is to be seen, is to be ongoing, is to be active in our mortal bodies. Not immortal body. That's what we're going to have in the future. 1 Corinthians 15 tells us, brother, that that body of yours, that physical body is going to be sown in weakness. But raised in power, sown in corruption, but raised in incorruption. Sown a mortal body is going to be raised in immortality. But he's not talking about that resurrection. He's talking about your resurrection at salvation. It is to have effects on and in and through your mortal body. Let me tell you something, dear friend. We've got a Christianity today. My friend, we've got messages today. Again, let me take my name out of that. I'm not in that. But there is preaching today. There is messages today. There is a Christianity, so-called, today that never says nothing about the body. You know I'm telling it right. They'll take that verse in 1 Samuel that, oh man, looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. So preacher, the outward appearance don't matter. You just need to do your own personal study of the Scripture. See the emphasis. See the importance. See the involvement that Jesus has about your body in His work and in His plan. In fact, I'll just tell you, He likes it so that He's not going to leave it in the grave. A part of His redemptive plan is to redeem the body. But that's future. That's future. He wants to do something with the body now. Amen. This is worth our reminding right here. When you know, God's a spirit. The Bible said God is a spirit. You can't see a spirit. Amen. Nod your head like it right there. You can't see a spirit. No man has seen God at any time. The Old Testament, they saw His glory. Amen. But they never saw God. Moses saw the burning bush and heard God, but he never saw God. No man has seen God and lived. So all this outfit on television telling they've seen Jesus is lying. They've seen something. They've had visions of something because they eat too many onions before they went to bed or something. But God said they've never seen me. If you were to see God, you'd die on the spot. Your flesh would explode. You couldn't stand it. Said, preacher, you got Bible on that? That's how He's going to defeat the battle in the battle of Armageddon, the armies of the world. He's not going to shoot them with guns and tanks and bazookas. And He's going to ride down through the valley of Megiddo on that white stallion. Praise God. And He's going to meet the armies of the world. And brother, He's going to whip them with the brightness of His glory and the sharp sword that proceedeth out of His mouth. And it'll be a slaughter like has never been. Blood will flow to the horse's bridle. Nobody's seen God. If you'd die, you couldn't stand it. We're going to see Him though, but we're going to get a glorified body so we can stand it. Yes, sir. Amen. But He said, what I'm talking about, Paul is saying right here, what I'm talking about in chapter 6 of Romans is dealing with the resurrection of Jesus in your mortal body. Amen. I know that's not popular. And there's a whole lot of people don't like it. But it's still the truth. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Which you have of God. And you're not your own. You're bought with a price. Your body belongs to God, and we need to take care of it. We need to dress it. We need to behave it in a way that projects Him and what He wants instead of what we want. I ain't getting too many amens right there. Or if I'd have just preached just basic preaching on the resurrection of Jesus, man, y'all would be amen and hallelujah, praise God. But what I'm showing you from the Word of God is the resurrection of Jesus Christ has practical effects. Watch this right here. He goes right through these passages. I'm not going to read. Well, let's read on down to verse 14. Let not sin there, verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that ye should obey it to the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are what? Say it. I know it's hard to admit the Scriptures, but there it is. You just said it. We are to yield ourselves to God as those who one day in the future will be raised from a physical grave and alive to God. Nope. Those that are already accomplished, past tense. Those that are alive from the dead. And your members, that is, yield your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law but under grace. What's this? We know that's talking about the now and now, because we're not going to have a problem with sin in the future when we get to heaven. This whole chapter is dealing with the believer now. Right now. Amen. And it's telling us that we have been identified with His death, and we also have been identified with His resurrection. Y'all have heard this before, but I think it's worth repeating. The life that you got at salvation is the same life that you're going to have in glory. You don't get an earthly life, a spiritual earthly life, and then that dies when you draw your last breath, and then when Jesus raises you in the resurrection, all of a sudden, abracadabra, there's somebody new coming out. No, all you're going to do is get a new body that's going to hook up with that life. Amen. Amen. Y'all believe what I'm preaching this morning? Some of you look like you think I'm preaching man-made ideas and man-made doctrine. You read it. Or at least I read it to you. You gonna believe the Scriptures? Amen. He's telling them down through here. Let's just point out some things right here. Amen. Look at verse 3 again. Now, I'm not going to go back and reread all of it, though it's worth rereading. He tells us here that we've been baptized into Jesus, into His death. We've been baptized into His death. When a person is baptized in the watery grave, we believe in immersion. I believe that's scripturally taught because it portrays and pictures the same death that a person died. Was he immersed into death? Did he completely die? Sure he did. We believe in immersion, brother. When you go into that watery grave and you go under and you go out of sight, you lose your identity of your life prior to that grave. That water covers you, and who you was is gone. And what you was is gone. And then when you come up out of that watery grave, you're telling the world that I've got a new walk and a new life, and I've got a new Lord. Amen. He said you did. You died with Him. You believe that? Galatians 2:20. Paul's probably one of Paul's most powerful favorite verses. He said in Galatians 2:20, "For I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live." Now that's a paradox. I'm dead, but I'm alive. Saul of Tarsus died, but Paul the apostle was alive. He said, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Paul's identification with his death. Colossians 3, verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Paul said, I'm identified with His death. And then in Colossians 3, 1, he said, hey, I'm risen with Him. I'm alive. Now watch this right here. He's telling them down through here that we are identified with His death, verse 3 and 4. Death brings an end to life. Did you know that? Hello? That answers that question in verse 1. That answers that question in verse 1. How shall we say then? What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? How did Paul answer that? By stating, God forbid. Here's what he said. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Death brings an end to life. When you get saved, friend, you have a funeral to your old life. If your old life and practices and habits continues in your life non-stop, then you never died. Are you listening? I'm telling you, friend, you can go in Rogersville. In fact, you probably can go anywhere. Knock on a few doors and you'll find people that ain't living for God. My friend, they've got a filthy mouth. They drink and everything else, my friend. And guess what they'll tell you? I'm saved. I made a profession when I was about 9 years old. But Brother Shaw, I knew that wasn't the deal. It was a profession. It got me baptized. It got my name on a dusty church roll. But it did not stop that principle of sin in my life. Amen. Lived in sin my teenage years and loved it. January 20th, 1981, when I got saved by the grace of God, I died. It put an end to that old life. A dead man don't desire what he had before he died. Death deals with addictions. There ain't no drug addict, my friend, whose corpse is laying in the ground that's saying, I want a joint. Oh, I wish I had another pill. Oh, I wish I had another this or that. Death puts an end to sin. Death ends life. That's what he's talking about here. I'm still in the book. Some of you look like I'm not. But I'm still in the book. He's answering a question, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? When a person dies, they don't live 1 second more in that old life. It don't take a dead person 6 months to stop. Death brings an instant stop. An instant change. Oh, when I got saved, my friend, listen, Ephesians 2:1, and you hath He quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin. Oh, Lord, help us. I'm not getting where I thought I was going to go. I hadn't even told you my title yet, have I? I've been preaching it all morning, but I hadn't told you my title yet. We're identified with His death. And then He said also, likewise. I like that word likewise, in His likeness of His death. Verse 5, we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. You know what He's telling us? Here's my title. You know what He's telling us? Look alive. Look alive. If you're dead with Christ, that puts an end to that old life. But resurrection puts a beginning to a new life. And He's telling us to walk in newness of life. He's telling us as believers to look alive. See, death stops at life. Resurrection starts life. Watch this right here. And those will never mix. Let me explain it to you this way. Sinners are dead in sin. And therefore, they don't have a life of righteousness. They don't have a life, a spiritual life. They don't have life. They're dead. They're dead. See, you're dead in one, dead to one life and alive to another. A sinner is dead in sin, meaning he does not have a spiritual life. He's dead to that sin, but he has a sinful life that he's alive unto. But believers are not dead in sin because we've been raised, quickened, made alive. We are now dead to sin. We're dead to it. The Bible says so. That we're dead. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? He even made the statement down in this passage that we are dead. Verse 7, he that is dead is freed from sin. Just as a sinner. And keep in mind, you're dead in one area and alive in another. Sinners are dead in sin. They're dead to the spiritual life, but they have a life that is alive unto sin. That's why they live for it and love it. But believers are dead to that life, sinful life, but we're alive unto God. Sinners are dead unto God and alive unto sin. Believers are dead unto sin and alive unto God. People that's going to heaven can be identified by their attitude toward sin. Amen. All of us, none of us in here have arrived. I just thought I'd serve notice and let you know I have not seen not one halo in the house today. And I looked in the mirror, believe it or not, this morning, and I never saw one on my head. In fact, I really had to question if there wasn't maybe a horn sprouting up there. No halo. If there's anything, there might be a horn, but not a halo. I've not arrived, brother, but I want to tell you what. You say, preacher, you got sinless perfection. You ought to know better than even to ask such a stupid question as that. Amen or thank you. None of us have arrived. Paul never laid claim to sinless perfection. Nobody in the Bible ever preached sinless perfection. But I promise you what will happen the very moment you get saved is your attitude will change toward sin. Amen. When sin comes into my life and into your life as a believer, I'm telling you we ought to hate it. We ought to hate what it does to our spiritual life. We ought to hate the ground that it causes us to lose for God. We ought to hate it, brother. What it does to our testimony. We ought to hate sin. The Bible tells us that we're to hate sin. Amen. I pray often, Lord, help me to hate sin and love righteousness. Your attitude will change toward sin if you're alive. God wants us to look alive. Does the world know you're alive? Oh, now I'm not talking about in the physical. They can tell. They don't have to do much observing to note that you're alive physically. Somebody that has sense could tell that you're alive physically if they see you walking, hear you talking, moving. You know, some of those things that goes along with physical life. I'm not talking about looking alive physically. Although that is most people's main concern. That's most people today, even those in church, main concern is to look alive physically. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, that's good. Amen, preacher, that's good. Preach it, amen. Thank you. Yeah, they want to look alive physically. That's right. That's right. Oh, yes. They want to make it behave, and they want to dress it real skimpy and tight and lay out and go to the cesspool and Rogersville with all the others and just lay around and expose the flesh. And you know what you want to do? You want to make people know you're alive physically. So, preacher, you're meddling. You know I'm not meddling, friend. I didn't even come intending to say that. That came down the pipeline, amen. But Paul is not wanting us to look alive physically. Paul wants us physically to look dead. That doesn't mean we'd go around, you know, look like death warmed over, never take a bath. You know, none of that's not what he's talking about. He's wanting us to be living a life here and now in this body that would project to the world that we are dead to sin, but alive unto God. Amen. This body is not mine. This body is the Lord's. Amen. Amen. A person that don't believe that has not studied their Bible very little. Amen. That's right. Y'all might as well nod your head, friend. I've been preaching this and believing this for 26 years. You're not. It's not going to change now because I don't get an amen. That's right. It does matter, brother, the habits of your physical body, how you dress it and the places you go and the things you do and the people you run with. It does matter. You won't hear nothing along those lines, I'm sure, with liberal churches and the churches of my friend that's my friend sweeping them in left and right. And all of this, amen. That's right. But I'm going to preach the truth. If I have to preach on a stump to the squirrels and the raccoons, that's the truth, brother. I'm convinced of it. Flesh don't like it. You know why? Your flesh and mine wants to look alive. We want to live our life so to suit our flesh. But you died, remember? You do you need reminding? When you got saved, you died. And not only did you die, you became dishonor of your body. When you got saved, dear friend, in essence, you signed over ownership to another. And He has all the rights of your life, your body, your plans. He has the right to demand purity and holiness and godliness. Amen. That's right. Come on, y'all might as well nod your head right there. Amen. Look alive is what I'm preaching this morning. Spiritual. Now, you can't look alive in both. You can't look alive physically and look alive spiritually at the same time. You can't look alive fleshly and look alive in the spirit at the same time. They're contradictory of natures. They contradict each other. One is for, the other's against, and they're fighting all the time, and they're pulling apart all the time. Amen, that's right. You are going to have to make the decision which one is going to win. Am I going to look alive in the spirit? Is it going to be important to me what God's will is for my life? Is it important to me what the Bible says about purity and holiness and sanctification? Does it matter? Amen. Look alive spiritually. People ought to know that you're alive in the Spirit because they see that you're dead to that old life. Look alive. Well, I'm not getting anything where I thought we was going to go this morning. But that's all right. It's all right. Look alive this morning. This world, brother, needs to see some people that's alive. Paul said, ye are our epistles written in our hearts read. Ye are our epistles, written not with ink, not in stone, but on the fleshly tables of the heart. And here's the key. He said, you are read and known of all men. But Jacob, it's very unlikely that there'll be a lot of lost people pick that Bible up and read it. Paul said, the Bible they're going to read, the epistles that they're going to read, is you and me as they watch our lives. That's why it is important, dear friend, that we try to walk a path of righteousness. Amen. Which Psalm 23 tells us that He leads us in the paths of righteousness. Why? For His name's sake. It's His name that's at stake. How we live is either going to glorify His name, point His name out, magnify His name, or else it's going to cover it up. Nobody that's lost will ever get saved by seeing you alive fleshly. Are y'all listening? I don't care a bit after the service. I'll take all of you, any of you. I'll sit you down. I'll be glad to tell you, show you the Bible on it. In fact, I think I've given you plenty of proof this morning right here out of our text. Amen? Even there in 2 Peter, is it? Is it 2 Peter there where Peter was addressing the wife, the believing wife that had the lost husband? That's a husband and wife relationship. And he's telling her, you're not going to win your husband unless he sees the hidden man of the heart. That's right. He was telling that wife, watch how you... Amen. He dealt with it. If y'all got time, we can go there and read it. But he dealt with the wearing of gold. He dealt with the braiding of the hair. Not saying that all that's wrong, but what he was saying was to that wife now, trying to win her husband, he's telling her that if all that husband of yours ever sees is the gold and the apparel and the fancying up of the outward appearance, that you will never win him. He said, behave yourself in a quiet spirit and a holy spirit. Amen. Being chaste and pure in his eyes so that he can look beyond the flesh and see the hidden man of the heart and get saved. I'm going to make a real bold statement right here. Bold, strong statement. A person that dresses and adorns and behaves themselves bodily and physically so as to project the flesh and portray the flesh and draw attention to the flesh, my friend, does not want to win somebody else to God. Well, amen. And we are having service tonight, by the way. Thought I'd clarify that. Amen. Look alive! Well, let me just give you this and I'm through. Lord, I forgot to start my watch. I'm just now starting. Amen. No, I know what time it is. Let me give you this right here and I'll be through. There's a parallel in our text. Now, I read it. It's right there. If you don't believe it, study it when you get home and tell me that I was wrong. Brother, there's a parallel between the resurrection of Jesus and the resurrection effects that it has on our life right now in our mortal bodies. We're to look alive right now. Amen. And there's a parallel. Jesus' resurrection, watch this right here. Jesus' resurrection, number one, was real. Salvation's not imaginary. Me having a spiritual life, His life. By the way, you know what life it is that Jesus gives to you when He saves you? His life. Colossians says Christ in you,
the hope of glory. Amen. Jesus said, and I give unto them eternal life. What life is that? That's His life. The truth, the New Testament truth is this. Now we're either going to like to believe the Bible or not. Amen. But the New Testament truth is this. Jesus is desiring in the believer to live in and live through the believer's body, His life. God is a Spirit. Remember a while ago I was on that and left it hanging? God is a Spirit. Nobody can see Him. So God got a body in Bethlehem. For God, the Bible said, for God there in John 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. And then it goes down in verse 14, and we know who He's talking about, because it said the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as of the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For God to come to this world and do the work, He had to have a body. Because nobody would have never seen Him. When Jesus left and went back to glory, guess what? He sent the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is a spirit. Duh. That's deep. Jesus had to have a body to manifest the Father. The Holy Spirit, Jesus said when He's come, He's going to glorify Me. He's going to bring attention to Me. He's going to bring to your remembrance all that I've said. Amen. But He needs a body. Jesus had to have a body to manifest the Father. The Spirit must have a body to manifest Jesus. And guess where that body is? It is yours. Your body. Amen. Well, glory. 1 Corinthians tells us very plainly that He's wanting to sanctify us body, soul, spirit. All three. His resurrection is real, and it's real, friend, when Jesus puts His life in you. It's literal. Jesus' resurrection was literal. I'm not imagining that I'm saved. I'm not dreaming that I'm saved. It's real. It's real. You don't have to believe it, but it's real. I promise. Jesus' resurrection was real, so will yours be. Look alive. Jesus' resurrection number two was revealed. And I've been dealing with all that. It's revealed through His body. He got up bodily. Hey, hey, hey! He got up bodily because He knew to show forth His resurrection life to others needed a body. And I got news for you. He's sitting on the throne of glory in a body. In eternity past, God was a spirit, no body. But when Jesus took upon Himself, my friend, the seed of Abraham, and came into the form of flesh there and got a body. From that point throughout the endless ages, there'll never be a time that Jesus won't have a body. Boy, it's good. After the resurrection, you know what? He used that body for 40 days to show Himself alive. Now, amen. Now, He could walk through walls. He could just appear. He could disappear, but it was a body, nevertheless. Because they thought He was a spirit in Luke 24. And He said, a spirit don't have flesh and bone. I got news for that crowd there, my friend, that said they found the bones of Jesus. There's no Jesus took His body. Jesus took His blood. And Jesus took His bones. He took all and went to glory. All that was involved in my redemption is in glory. There's no blood stains on the cross. He never left no blood stains at the foot of the cross on the ground. It's hard to get a hold of, but even the blood that was shed when He was 8 days old in His circumcision, He took that with Him too. All the blood on Pilate's hall, and when they was beating Him with the cat of nine tails, blood going everywhere. My friend, every drop of it, He took up with Him when He got up from the grave. Told Mary not to touch Him, for I've not yet ascended. Took His bone, body, and blood and went to glory. Put that blood on the altar before God. And God accepted it. Amen. And it's still on the altar. Amen. Oh, when we get to heaven, we're going to get to view Jesus in bodily form there on the throne. And it's going to be as a lamb that had been slain. It just like it was when they took Him off the cross. The mutilated body that they laid in the ground is the same body, brother, that He got up with. And brother, when we see Him, we're not going to turn our face and say, oh, that's awful. That's going to be the most beautiful sight in glory. More beautiful than the mansions. More beautiful, my friend, than the street of gold will be that mutilated body that paid the price. And we look at the blood on the altar and it'll be telling us, thank God, Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Jesus' resurrection was real. And mine is. Jesus' resurrection is revealed. Ours should be. His was revealed through a body and so is ours. Then, let me say this, and I've just got through preaching it. Jesus' resurrection remained. Even today, it's still ongoing. Brother, what Jesus does in your life will have a lasting effect about it. Amen. Look alive. Does your neighbors know that you're alive? My neighbor's here, Miss Wanda. Well, I'd be embarrassed to preach stuff like that right there if Miss Wanda had saw me out in the yard with no shirt on, walking around my Bermudas. Wouldn't you, Miss Wanda? Have you ever? Here's our church. We're on camera. We're making a CD. Have you ever seen it? And guess what, Miss Wanda? You won't never. Why? Because I want to reveal through my body that God has made a change in me. And I don't do it regretfully. And brother, I don't get up in the morning with shackles on my hands and on my feet. And people said, oh, I feel sorry for that preacher. He can't do what I do. He can't go where I go. Oh no, don't feel sorry for me. I'm having a time. Because there's joy in pleasing the Lord. There's joy in trying to honor Him with your life. There's pleasure in trying to please Him. I like what Brother Massengill said, and I'm through. Y'all been very patient, Tammy. Brother Massengill preached in our revival meeting. Made a profound statement. Remember what he said about your life? Remember what he said? He said, you got a couple options. You can throw your life away, or you can give it away, but you will not be able to keep it. You can throw it away while loose living and fleshly living and living for the day and living for the moment, living to please society and living to be popular. You can throw your life away, or you can live to please God and let Him live His life out through you. Look alive. And you won't be throwing it away. You'll be giving it away. You'll be giving it unto Him. And you know what? You know what Jesus said? What was He said there about if you seek to keep your life, you'll lose it? And if you lose it, He said you will find it. That's how you find life in Christ, is to lose your life. Find life in Him. Look alive, church. Amen. Look alive. It'd be good to start right now, wouldn't it? Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, thank You for helping us this morning. Lord, I'm confident with all that's within me. What I preach this morning is the Word of God. And I believe this congregation, I believe in light of what is taught just in the Scriptures we read this morning. I believe this congregation knows that the preacher preached the truth this morning. You do have rights. We did die with you. We've been identified with you. When we got saved, we was baptized into your death. And Lord, that resurrection life kicked in. Your life. Lord, there's some in the building, Lord, need to come and say, Lord, I don't know all of what the preacher preached this morning. I don't know all about that truth. But I want you to have my body. I want you to have this life. I want to live for you. I want to look alive this morning. May parents in this building today get in this old-fashioned altar and say, Lord, I want to raise my children. I want to have guidelines, and I want to be an example to my children to look alive spiritually. Look alive. Because we have been raised to walk in newness of life. Lord, the flesh don't like what I preach this morning. But what I preach this morning don't like the flesh either. We're going to have to choose our church, the future of our church, I believe, hinges on whether or not we're wanting to look alive spiritually or if we want to look alive fleshly. No doubt in my mind, Lord, you put your finger on some things in people's lives today. May they not rebel. Lord, show them that rebellion is not produced by the Spirit of God. Lord, that rebellious attitude maybe toward what was preached this morning, Lord, that doesn't come from the Holy Spirit. That's got to be coming from the flesh. That's got to be coming from the flesh. Help people, dear Father. Help me. Lord, I want to be a pastor. I want to be a daddy. I want to be a husband. I want to be a neighbor. Lord, I want to be a citizen. Lord, that's alive spiritually. I want to look alive. I don't want to just be alive. I want to look alive. I want to live alive. Walk in newness of life with a new Lord, with new longings. Headed for a new land. Use the message, I pray. Speak to hearts this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Heads bowed, eyes closed. These are in the altar this morning praying.